I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We will bring in Rob Reichel here. And Gary Ellerson apparently has something for our friends from Forbes.com and Conley Media. Robbie, appreciate it, man.
Always a pleasure. How are we doing, guys?
Fantastic.
Hey, Robbie. How you doing, buddy?
I am great. How are you, Gary?
You're good, good. Hey, quick question for you, Robbie. You surprised at the job that Matt LaFleur is doing?
Am I surprised?
Yeah.
1,000%.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, you know, Gary, I had a couple of people tell me, you know, when I was talking to him about LaFleur, when they hired him in January, that there was no guarantee he was going to be brought back as the OC in Tennessee. So right there, you know, was kind of a red flag in terms of, boy, what are the Packers getting there? But I'll say this, and, you know, he's not dynamic. He's not great with the media, as you guys know. He seems uncomfortable at a podium, and he doesn't seem like he has a presence in a room. Like Mike McCarthy kind of would come in and take over a room right away. He just had that aura about him. But the strengths of LaFleur are he's incredibly bright. He's extremely well-organized. He's creative. He's innovative. You guys saw last week, without his number one playmaker, what he was able to do offensively to put up 34 points. And, guys, if they weren't nursing that lead, they were going to get into the 40s. I think as this season plays out, they're only going to get better and better on offense. I talked to a number of guys about him, you know, specifically today. They all just say, you know, he's unbelievably honest. He's incredibly driven. They want to play for him. They want to win for him. So while he may not seem, you know, to be this dynamic individual to the outside public, I think inside the locker room, he's a little bit different, guys. And, I think we knew he had the smarts, maybe, Gary. But to become a leader of men, that's a little bit different of a characteristic that and not everybody is born with. Not everybody has. But Matt LaFleur might have that. They've caught some breaks, I think, guys, early to go 4-1. But they're certainly on track here to have a 10 to 12, 13 win kind of season. And there's no doubt that's a little bit of a surprise, Gary.
You know, and it is to me, and I know we talked about this earlier, and here's the setup question. If he's having this kind of success, do we lay some of this credit on the feet of Mark Murphy?
Well, I mean, we all said from the get-go, if this didn't go well, Murphy was the next head that had to fall, right?
We the media said that, yes.
No question about it. And honestly, Gary, I think the board may have felt that way too. If they had another two straight losing seasons, and again, we are early. We're only a third of the way through the season, but the way things are trending and the way it looks with this football team, the future's really bright. But yes, Gary, I mean, if my point there was if we were going to hammer on Murphy, if this did not go well, because this, in essence, is his hire, and it was his hire, and he has total control now of kind of everything football, as everybody knows, then if things do go well, we have to give him the credit as well. I mean, Gutekunst certainly has a role in it as well, but I think the overwhelming majority of it, in terms of who made this hire, it stems back to Murphy.
Yeah, and then we also think that because in that interview, there were a lot of people was taken aback that Gutekunst couldn't talk, didn't talk, and maybe Murphy overtalked him and that he talked too much. And then I guess are we at the point now to say that, yeah, maybe that was Murphy who did that and made that move? And, yes, Gutekunst is bringing in free agents and he is actually running the everyday operations. Mm. Are we there yet, Rob?
I think we're there in terms of, I mean, I think he's got to get clearance from the top, but in terms of coming, you know, coming up with a list of, hey, I want Za'Darius Smith and I want Preston Smith and I want Adrian Amos, that all undoubtedly stems back to Gutekunst. He has control of the roster. I think he handles free agency. But in terms of the hiring of some of these bigger people, guys, like obviously like the head coach, I do think that's a Mark Murphy hire, but the day-to-day, right. The football side of things, Gary, I do think for the most part This is a Gutekunst driven train right now.
Have you also, thanks for this conversation, Rob. Have you, though, then feel, because now I heard a comment by Matt LaFleur. He says something to the effect of, well, there's no move that's not made that I don't know about. Do you, are Gutekunst and LaFleur joined at the hip like that?
Well, I think their communication is substantially better than what the communication was in the building a couple of years back. I mean, and Murphy talked obviously about the silos when he moved on from Ted Thompson. And we all know those later Ted Thompson years. You know, Ted Thompson just kind of did his own thing. And I don't think the communication was great between him and anybody on the football side of things. I'm not sure it really ever was.
No, I agree with that.
Ted marched to his own drummer, as we all know. You know, I think he and McCarthy had decent communication, but I think there's much better communication going on, for example, right now between Gutekunst and LaFleur. I think they're both extremely open with everything. I think Gutekunst is in daily contact with LaFleur in terms of what he's doing potentially with the roster, and I think LaFleur is really honest in terms of who he tells Gutekunst can and can't play and who he may have to get and, you know, where he needs some help. And the general manager then goes out and tries to do it. So I do think from that side of things, Gary, that marriage is working far better than maybe the marriage worked the last number of years or a few years back between a Thompson and a McCarthy, for example.
Go ahead, Steve.
You get paid for that, and that was real good. You did a good job there of making sure we praise Mark Murphy a lot in that segment. That was good. Let's talk about Aaron Rodgers.
This could go south, Steve. It could. I mean, this could go bad. I mean, they got how many games they got left? I mean,
quite a few.
Yeah. Maybe 11.
I mean, they could go 4-12. They may not have
won. Well, if 12 goes down, they might.
Yeah.
Hey, so speaking of 12, with this knee injury that popped up on the injury report, and I saw earlier, it doesn't sound like anybody that was covering them knew that there was anything wrong with Rodgers. Was it a surprise to you like it was us?
Yeah, and I'm going to work under the assumption it's nothing dramatic or extreme, Sparky, but yes, it was a surprise because you guys laid it out really well, I think, before for your listeners. The locker room is open. We're able to talk to athletes. Rodgers talks once a week. Rodgers, I talked today 16 minutes to the to the reporters, and that question never did come up. Well, we're all back upstairs 5 minutes after locker room closes, and there it shows up on the injury report. So now, whether it will be addressed or not by Rodgers tomorrow, you know, in essence, he fulfilled his once a week media obligation that he has to fill. That the NFL makes each, you know, makes a guy talk once a week. So and LaFleur will dance around it. We all know that. We've seen how LaFleur handles injury stuff. I Sparky, it's certainly not going to keep him out of Monday night's game. But my question, obviously, would be just, you know, long term. Is there any severity to what's going on there? Just exactly what the specifics are, and those are questions that we just couldn't ask today. So, you know, I can't give you a good answer on what it is or isn't right now, Spark.
But you did have some guys return from injury today too, Rob.
Yeah, Davante Adams isn't going to be one of those guys. I, you know, was part of a group that talked to Adams for a long time today, Spark. I think people right now can almost, they won't put it on the injury report, but it doesn't sound like Adams is going to go. And Adams himself talked at length about just the difference between walking around day-to-day basis and then going to play football. He didn't sound like a guy who was mentally in a place where he was going to give it a go come Monday night. But you know, I think Kevin King's going to play on Monday night, Spark. I'm trying to think of that, you know.
Jamal Williams.
Darius Smith will play. Jamal Williams will play. Williams said today, you know, as I made the rounds in the locker room, I was in with Williams at one point where he said he really wanted to go last week. They held him back. I don't think that'll be the case this week. I think he will give it a go. You know, I'm just trying to think of the other guys who didn't practice. Tanyan didn't practice. I don't have it in front of me, sorry, guys. But I think for the most part, they're going to be a relatively healthy group come Monday night. But obviously the big one, you know, comes back to Adams. He's their second most important player, I think, on the entire roster. And they're going to have to be extremely creative to find a way to score, you know, 27 to 34 points again, like they have the last couple of games after he went out in Philly. And then, you know, the way they found a way to get into the 30s against Dallas.
Rob Reichel covers the Packers, Forbes.com. Conley Media joins us here on the Wendy's Big Show on Thursdays, talking Packers football. We're going to hear some of that Davante Adams sound coming up in about 10 minutes from right now here on the Wendy's Big Show. Rob, looking at Za'Darius Smith and coming into his own, into a leadership role with this team, being voted a captain within his first season with the team, a full season captain, one of three on the squad. Have you been able to see in your years covering this team another free agent like Smith coming in with not necessarily the name cred that a Charles Woodson did, but from the leadership role and the immediate impact that he's had on this team?
Well, probably the greatest, the most equal comparison, Billy, would be Julius Peppers. You guys remember he came in, had a pretty big impact right out of the chute.
Big time.
He was made a playoff captain right away that first season he was in Green Bay, and obviously had a really good run here in his time. He had a different kind of leadership. He was more quiet, guys, and it was more behind the scenes. He wasn't as demonstrative as on the field. I mean, what Za'Darius has brought to this defense, guys, and Jair Alexander is part of this too, and some other people, I would say, is just an overall swagger that, I mean, we haven't seen in Green Bay in
no doubt.
Decades, right? I mean, Ted Thompson wouldn't draft people that, for the most part, that played that way. Alexander was obviously a Gunakun pick, although Kevin King's got some swagger. He was a Ted pick. But, for the most part, this is just very anti-Ted Thompson, the way that defense plays right now. And you wonder if this would be going on if he was still the general manager. But, I talked to a lot of guys about that, for example, today. And they just all went on about how it really keeps them pumped up through a game and confidence-wise and things to that effect. When they make a big play, instead of just walking to the sideline and saying, nice job, this kind of keeps them going for another series or two. I think it's a really interesting way to play. They've got a real swagger. I think Za'Darius was a big part of that. He certainly learned some of that in Baltimore, where they had so much defensive success for so many years, guys, and had so many terrific players. I mean, he was stuck behind some outstanding players for a long time in Baltimore. Guys, as I watched him through the course of the summer, and I think I said this a couple times on your show, you could tell he was ready to break out. I mean, he's in the prime of his life. He's 26 years old. He's in remarkable physical condition, peak physical shape, unbelievably strong, fast, quick off the edge. He really has everything. And if he can stay healthy here, guys, coming down the stretch, he's going to put up big numbers, and just as almost important, I think he's just brought a real attitude to that defense where these guys kind of all believe now they have a chance to be difference makers and just not caddies to Aaron Rodgers in the offense.
We've seen now this team, Rob Reichel, the last couple of weeks and in the first 5 weeks of the season, have these starts in the first quarter where I compared it during the game this week to like the first like 2-3 months of a new relationship, right? It's hot, it's heavy, you don't see anybody very much, but everything's great, everything's good. And then come into like the middle of the third quarter, into the fourth quarter, you feel like you're buying flowers and maybe saying you're sorry to make sure everything's okay, seemingly each and every other day. Do we see this week when the Packers face off on Monday night against those Lions, this to be more of the game where you see it put together for four quarters? Or do you believe that's going to come down the line when these teams really start maturing into like weeks 10, 11, 12, and maybe after that week 11 bye?
Well, first off, Billy, I love that analogy. I've been married 18 years, so I don't remember what the first 2 or 3 months are like anymore. I'd like to remember that sometimes, but it's a great. It's a
I got
great
you, Robbie. That's call. One of my favorite parts. Then I leave.
Absolutely. No, I thought they took real steps and strides toward that 60 minutes of consistency last week, Bill. In that game against Dallas, I thought for the better part of three quarters they did, largely what they wanted on offense. I thought they got far too conservative, later on when they had that large lead and they were worried more about milking the clock than scoring points. I think had that game, had they given up a couple more early scores on defense or something and needed to keep kind of the foot on the gas offensively, Billy, I think they would have gone ahead and scored 41, 44 points, something like that. No, I think week by week and kind of game by game, you've seen it from the Bears in week one where they had, 213 yards of total offense and 10 points and couldn't get anything done to these last 2 weeks. I know some of those yards against Philly were semi-garbage at times, and Philly was willing to give some things up. But Dallas, I thought they were extremely consistent. I think they're taking some really nice steps here. And again, this is without Adams under LaFleur and his offense here. deal where I think in, you know, by midseason in the second half of the year, they're gonna probably play the second half of the year as a top 10 or 12 offense, where right now I think they rank, what, 21st, 22nd, yep, something like that. I think they'll work their way back up into the top 12 here before it's all said and done, because I think they're really starting to find their stride. I think they're kind of understanding that Aaron Jones is really as key to what they want to get done offensively, almost as Aaron Rodgers is. And as those two kind of become more synced up, and Rodgers seems to have bought into the fact he doesn't have to be the absolute and only alpha in the building anymore, that he has some help, I think this offense has a chance to take off, Bill.
You know, real last one, let's get going, Rob, here. And I asked this to David Bakhtiari in the other day that we had him on, but would you ever thought that the Packers could actually win a game without Aaron Rodgers throwing for a touchdown pass? Now, I don't know if this is the things have come for Aaron Rodgers, but it sure feels like this offense is different than what McCarthy does, and it feels like the football may be kind of taken out of Rodgers' hands a little bit.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, Geary, you remember this. Billy, I don't know if you were – Sparky remembers it. I don't know if Bill was quite old enough to remember, but you guys remember in 2003, Favre did this same thing with Amon Green. That was the year Green had 1,883 yards, and they actually ran the ball that year more than they threw it. It was 51-49, something like that, 52-48. And that was a major change from how the Packers had played under Holmgren and Ray Rhodes in the first couple years of Mike Sherman. And you do absolutely feel that way. And Gary, I thought maybe the most mature comment Aaron Rodgers has ever made came the other day after that Dallas game, where he said, you know, I've done a number of statistical things in the league. Now I just want to win.
Right.
And if he's 100% committed to that comment, their best way to win moving forward is going to be obviously a large dose of Rodgers, but just as big of a dose of Aaron Jones. And guys, if they're fully committed and believe that, I mean, there's no question. When Aaron Jones is on like he was in that Dallas game, and I think he really has been the last year and change. I have no idea why Mike McCarthy didn't use him more, but I think he's a top six or eight back in football. And they've still got one of the top five or six quarterbacks in football. They've got a terrific offensive line. They've got a top five wide receiver when Adams comes back. That offense, guys, again, has a chance to do everything it has to do to take them on a deep playoff run, especially if that defense keeps going the way it's gone.
This is Rob Reichel of Forbes.com and Conley Media. Rob, you were with all of us last week and didn't necessarily see the Packers doing what they did down in Dallas and had the Cowboys in that one. How do you see it turning out on Monday night, Packers and Lions?
No, I could not have been more wrong. And you know, I became a little bit of a believer that day, Bill, that this team has a chance to do some unique things this season. You know, Detroit's given them some fits, guys, the last couple of years. I think Detroit's
four straight
in a row, I think, in the series. And the Lions are a really underrated team still. I think they're really good. But again, on Monday night, I think Green Bay gets it done. But I think it's going to be pretty close, guys, 27-24, you know, 26-23, something like that. I do like Green Bay, though, guys, in a pretty tight game.
Rob Reichel joining us here, as he does on Thursdays, talking Packers football. We'll talk next week, Rob.
All right, guys. Have a great day. Thanks.
Thanks, man. That's Rob Reichel of Forbes.com and Conley Media, covering the Packers for a very, very long time, written several books about the Packers.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.